Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Happy New Year. No, I did not misread the calendar, at least this week. I know it's still November, but it's the beginning of a new church year. We are now in the season of Advent, and we are beginning the countdown to Christmas. The theme of the readings for the first Sunday of Advent is summed up in one word: watch. This is not an encouragement to binge watch Christmas movies or old TV shows on Netflix, as fun as that might be. No, it means to keep watch, the same way a city guard would stand on the city wall and keep watch for danger or for crime or for the enemy. It means to be alert, be on guard, pay attention, focus. But what should we be watching for? What should we be paying attention to? Well, that's a good question, and as usual, the Bible has a really good answer. In fact, three really good answers that I want to share with you today. We should, number one, watch out for temptation. Number two, watch for God's grace. And number three, watch for Christ's return. So number one, watch out for temptation. Why? Because we are under attack. The idea of keeping a watch is a military picture, and it's a good one for the situation we're in. We're in a war, and we're constantly under attack from our enemy. Paul urges us, the night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. We need to put on the armor of light because we're in battle. Battle with the enemy. Who's our enemy? 1 Peter 5, verse 8 tells us, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. The devil is the great enemy of the human race. He's the one who ambushed our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden. He's the enemy who continues to attack us even today. No one is safe from his diabolical attacks. How does he attack us? Well, mostly using spiritual weapons. Remember, we're in a spiritual war with spiritual weapons, and spiritual weapons are many times words. Satan is a master of words. Jesus calls him the liar and the father of lies. He is the master manipulator and an expert in the devious, dangerous art of temptation. He knows our weak spots, and he hits us where it hurts. Paul warns us to put off the deeds of darkness, to put off debauchery, to put off sexual immorality, to put off dissensions and jealousy, to put off all those things that Satan tempts us with, and instead put on the armor of light. We need to be able to say no to temptation. To that, we need the power of the Holy Spirit, and we need God's gift. We need to put on the full armor of God and get ready to do battle with the devil. We need to put on the belt of truth. Be honest. Confess our sins. Be honest with ourselves, with God, and with others. We need to put on the breastplate of righteousness, understanding Christ's forgiveness, the gift of righteousness and forgiveness, which is ours in Jesus. We need to put on the sandals of peace, living in the peace that comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to take up the shield of faith, trusting the Lord and extinguishing all the flaming arrows of the evil one. We need to put on the helmet of salvation, the hope of eternal life, which is ours in Christ. And we need to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We need to stand up against the devil and his evil attacks, putting on the armor of light and saying no to temptation. Number one, watch out for temptation. Number two, watch for God's grace. As I said, we are under attack. Our enemy is constantly attacking us, constantly giving us temptations in all sorts of ways. And I've got bad news for you. Sometimes those attacks will succeed. Sometimes we will give in to temptation, to the devil or to the world or to our own sinful nature, which lives inside of us. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all give in to temptation. We all have fallen short. We all have sinned. Which is why Paul directs us to the one person who can help us, the one person who is the friend of sinners, the one person who can give us mercy and forgiveness, the mercy and forgiveness we need, the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to satisfy its desires. Romans 13:14. The devil is our greatest enemy, but Jesus Christ is the sinner's best friend. He gives us the forgiveness that we need, and he gives us the grace that we are looking for. And we need to watch for God's grace. We need to seek God's place where it can be found. Where can we find it? Christ gives us his grace in what we call the means of grace. There are three of them. One is the Bible, which is the Word of God. Another one is Holy Communion, in which Christ gives us his body and blood given and shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. And a third one is baptism. When I think of putting on Christ, as it says here in Romans 13, I think especially about God's gift of baptism. Paul tells us that all of us who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians 3:26-27. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. We are sinful by nature, and we cannot get rid of our sin. Have you ever been dirty? I mean, really dirty. I mean, maybe working on the car. You've been or working out in the dirt. You've had lots of oil and grease on you, the kind that you can't get off of you easily. You know, the kind you need the special soap to get rid of. Not only were you dirty, everything you touched got dirty and greasy and oily as well. That's what sin is like. It clings to us. And we are by nature sinful and unclean. The sin we have clings to us, and we can't wipe it off. We can't get it off. We don't have enough ways to wash it off. What we need is a thorough, complete washing, not just a natural washing, the removal of dirt from the body. Now we need a supernatural washing from the Holy Spirit. As Titus puts it, the washing of regeneration and renewal through the Holy Spirit, which is baptism. Paul said, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." Now, having been washed with pure water, we are not put back into our old dirty clothes. That would defeat the entire purpose. We aren't even put back in our own clothes. No, we're giving a new set of clothes to wear. And the clothes we wear are the righteousness of Christ. We are clothed with Christ's own righteousness. All of us who have been baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. We have, by the grace of God, through his means of grace, especially the means of grace known as baptism, we have put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are covered with his righteousness. Our sins are fully and freely forgiven. Number one, watch out for temptation. Number two, watch for God's grace. Number three, of course, watch for Christ's return. Advent is a season in which we look backwards to Christ's first coming, when he came as a baby. But it's the time when we also look forward to Christ's second coming, when he will come in glory with all his holy angels to judge the living and the dead. One of the worst things a soldier on duty could do is fall asleep. There was and still are severe punishments for soldiers who fall asleep when they are needed to keep watch. Paul urges us to be wide awake, not physically wide awake all the time, that would be impossible, but spiritually wide awake. We need to keep watch because Jesus Christ could return at any time. Romans 13:11. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. As we talked about last week, no one knows the exact time or day when this will happen. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ will be sudden and unexpected, like a thief in the night. Therefore, you also may, Matthew 24:44 says, therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. What does that mean to be wide awake, spiritually speaking? Well, again, it's just what we were talking about, being on guard duty. Being focused, being alert, being wide awake, looking out for the enemy, not to be surprised. to no longer see things from a temporary point of view, but start seeing things from a eternal point of view. The world wants to lull us to sleep. That's why the world puts its emphasis on comfort, doesn't it? Everywhere you look, the world wants us to be comfortable, and the devil wants us to be lulled into a false sense of security as well. Think that nothing will ever change. Always more time. Hey, the important things can wait till tomorrow. Let's just focus on the here and now. Jesus, in our gospel lesson, compares the times we live in, the last days, to the times of Noah. He says, "For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." Matthew 24:37-39. Noah had been preaching for decades and building that ark that everyone could see. He was letting people know the end is near, the end is coming. Now, Noah didn't know when it was going to come, but God knew. But Noah knew it would be soon. You know, and I imagine there were some people who probably listened at first and thought, wow, well, I better get ready if that's coming. But when things didn't happen exactly when and how they thought they would, or when and how they expected, they started to, well, get comfortable, lull into a false sense of security, fall asleep spiritually. They went through the motions. They ate and drank. They got married. They gave in marriage. They tuned out Noah's message and fell asleep spiritually. That's the danger we are in today. People today go, where is this coming he talked about? When is Jesus coming again? We get so caught up in the day-to-day details. We get caught up in the appointments, the chores, the headaches and challenges of today. We get caught up in going through the motions, doing our to-do list. We start forgetting about the big picture. We start forgetting about the important things, and we start forgetting about the eternal things. And one of the most important eternal things we need to realize is that Jesus Christ is coming again. The Lord wants us to wake up and see things from the eternal point of view. To no longer see things from a temporary point of view, but see it from his point of view. Matthew 24:44. "Therefore you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." We need to wake up. We need to quit going through the emotions. We need to be alert, be focused. We need to keep watch. The Lord is coming again. Our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Jesus Christ is coming again. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.